why don't we start there with Matthew Mitton, and we'll backtrack to the LA Rams. He is the Sports Lawyer Association president. He's joining us now live on the show. Matthew, good morning to you. Thank you for taking the time.
Good morning. My pleasure.
So we're talking right now about the possibility of the Oakland Raiders being a tenant in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium. We know what happened a few years ago when Levi's Stadium opened its doors, and it just wasn't favorable for the Oakland Raiders. Is this now a situation where the NFL might possibly force them to be a tenant at Levi's Stadium?
Well, you know, potentially, because if you compare to what is happening, you know, now with the Rams moving to Inglewood, as I understand the terms of it, the NFL is doing everything it can to create a very strong incentive for the Rams and Chargers to agree to share that facility. And I think you could have something similar happening up in Santa Clara, because the NFL's collective interest is it wants, you know, all teams to have, you know, a suitable local revenue stream and, you know, requisite competitive balance, all of those sorts of things. So, yeah, the league does have, you know, pretty strong incentive to, you know, create favorable relationships for teams that are sharing the same stadium.
I just wonder, we often talk about the value of a franchise. Is there a way, I never hear like real hard numbers. It's just like it creates jobs, it creates, and no doubt it does. It creates tremendous revenue. But can you quantify like what St. Louis is losing, the impact there, and what is to be made going to a market like L.A. for Stan Kroenke?
Well, I can't quantify it because, you know, I'm not an economist, but, you know, I am familiar with some of the economic research, and what, you know, what I've read is, you know, some economists at least will say basically that, well, if fans aren't going to an NFL game, they will shift their entertainment dollars to something else. And you know, it was one study I read that said that the economic value in, you know, pure dollars and cents of hosting an NFL franchise isn't much more than having a major department store in the area, which sounds, wow, a little bit low. Yeah. I think, you know, really the harm that can result is, you know, civic pride when you lose a franchise. You know, that could, you know, well affect public perception of, you know, you're not an NFL city. I mean, there's St. Louis is still a major league city because they've got the Blues and the Cardinals. But, you know, those are incremental things, you know, entertainment options and businesses locating and people deciding to move to a particular city. So I would see it more the intangible, you know, benefits of hosting a franchise or harm if you lose one.
Do both teams pay the $550 million relocation fee? And what is the partnership between the Rams and the Chargers, assuming that the Chargers accept the deal? Or is that what Spanos is working on right now, figuring out if they're going to be a tenant or a partner?
Well, you know, it's your second question. I have no idea what the terms are. You know, they're trying to work out a suitable arrangement. And you know, certainly the Rams would be paying the relocation fee because the NFL takes the position that, you know, any market where a team moves into, the league clubs collectively generate, you know, the fan interest that supports putting a team there. So all the other clubs effectively get a portion of that because the relocation fee is distributed pro rata to the other clubs. I'm not sure about if, let's say, the Chargers also move, you know, up to Los Angeles and play in the Inglewood facility, whether they would have to pay the same $500 fee because they've, you know, been the only NFL team in the Southern California market the past 20 years. So, you know, there's an argument that it ought to be lessened. They're just, you know, moving about 140 miles north into what's essentially the same market.
Right. One of the reasons we wanted to have you on is because you are intimate with the move that the Oilers made going to Tennessee ultimately winding up in Nashville. I'm wondering, just in as far as the challenge, the legal challenge in moving a franchise from one place to the next, what is the biggest hurdle? We've heard all these owners talk about what an arduous process this is. Other than being hung up in a stadium deal where you have to break a lease or a contract there, what else is involved?
Well, the biggest thing is getting the approval of 3/4 of the clubs to allow the move to occur. I mean, that's really the most significant hurdle. So, which the Rams, you know, they've surmounted that hurdle. They've got the requisite authorization from the league to move. And, you know, I don't know, you know, presumably, you know, their lease provides, they're not breaching their lease by moving and playing. I guess they'll be starting next fall. There might be a provision in there that says they have to pay a certain amount of liquidated damages if they move, aren't playing their games, you know, before a certain date. That's one way of handling it. And this is something that the Rams ownership has been thinking about, you know, for a number of years. So I haven't seen them, but you would expect that the various contracts that the Rams have with local sponsors would have some sort of an out provision, or again, the payment of perhaps some reasonable liquidated damages to sponsors and others in the St. Louis community that they would have contracted with.
Are there any legal options that say the Raiders can take it if, in fact, the Chargers agree? So now you have the Chargers and you have the Rams at the Inglewood facility. The Oakland Raiders are left searching. Could you see them suing the NFL or taking legal action because of the outcome?
Well, you know, anything's possible, although Al Davis is no longer alive and no longer owns the franchise. I think he filed almost 24 lawsuits against the NFL when he owned it, including a successful antitrust suit when back in the 1980s he wanted to move the Raiders to Los Angeles, and he didn't generate a single vote in favor of that from his fellow club owners. So he brought an antitrust suit claiming that this was an agreement among the NFL clubs to restrain trade between his club, and I think at the time the Rams were there, to share the same market. And, you know, he won a jury trial, and it was affirmed by a federal appellate court. And one of the issues the court looked at that was relevant to the antitrust issue was that there weren't objective factors, at least written down, that said, okay, here are the criteria that the NFL is going to consider in deciding whether or not to allow a franchise to relocate. That potential problem has been remedied. My understanding is the NFL has a pretty clearly defined list of criteria, which they apparently followed. The other unique thing here is that, you know, if the Raiders brought an antitrust suit this time, they would be arguing that it's basically anti-competitive not to allow a third team in the Southern California or Los Angeles area. And I think the NFL would have a much better chance of successfully defending against that suit, because they would say, look, you know, the LA market, you know, two teams is the most that we're going to put in there, and we don't want to allow, you know, the Raiders to relocate from the Bay Area to Los Angeles, because that's only going to put, you know, there's only going to be one team up there now, the 49ers. So, I mean, that's a possibility, but I think the Raiders successfully winning that would be quite a long shot, even if they were to file it, which I don't think is very likely.
Matthew Mitten, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today to talk about the Rams relocation, the state of the Raiders, and what the Chargers will be doing. Good luck to you, and we'll check back in with you in the future.
Okay, thanks. My pleasure.
That was Sports Lawyer Association President Matthew Mitten. Coming up here on the BR Spotlight with Nicole and Bucher, we get into a little game of he said, she said, some good sound bites this week, but what were they really trying to say? We decode it next on the BR Spotlight.